everybody. Welcome to another episode of Grow Yourself from the Inside Out. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if it's a huge departure, but a slight departure from my normal, you know, talking about, how to build your relationships or, how to do this, grow from the inside out. This certainly is on that point. However, we're going to be talking about healthcare, I guess you could say, and even more deep focus with it. And I brought on a true expert. You're going to be very impressed, I'm going to tell you, with where this professional came from and how she ended up in her, I guess you could say, her niche today. But it's a very, very important topic. And when I came across her name, I thought to myself, this is something that people, that we do indeed need to grow about. And I'll just start with moi. My health is, I think most of you know, I'm 63, or at least some of you do. And so as you get older, of course, you become more and more concerned with your health, partially because your body starts to tell you that you need to be more concerned. But even more than that, when I think about things like COVID, the effects of COVID, getting older, if you will, and the overload of information, going to Dr. Google, I've almost scared myself into a heart attack I feel something, I go to Dr. Google and I'm on my deathbed. I mean, that's sort of how it all works, but also things like cancer, obesity. I mean, just the list goes on that I'm finding a lot of people are finding our health to be just sort of, a front and center issue that we need to deal with. And so my guest is, she says this and caught my attention as soon as I read this, that she suggested that that the Western medicine is a broken industry. And I think a lot of us understand that to some degree. I mean, if you just talk about pharmaceuticals or the amount of medications that people are on and all these other sorts of things, it at least leads you to suspect that Western medicine needs some tweaking. I am in no shape or form a healthcare professional, but I certainly understand the concept. So my guest is going to talk to us about taking control of your health, and also talking about what the future of medicine is today, by the way. And I'll tell you more about that in just a second. So let me just introduce to you Dr. Kylie Burton, DCCFMP. I have no idea what all that means, but I'm pretty sure it's important. And she's an international bestseller with her book, Why Are My Labs Normal? Now, that may seem like an odd title, but wait till you hear what she has to say about all of this and sort of where I was talking about, where she niched in this concept. So she specializes in functional medicine, helping thousands of individuals with seemingly impossible health struggles find answers, healing, and hope, even if they've been told that their blood work is normal. Which we've probably all experienced. Besides helping patients, she teaches practitioners of all backgrounds how they can level up their patient results using her techniques inside her mastermind. And we'll tell you what a mastermind is too. As a result, as a rising star on TikTok, now that caught me off guard a little bit because I expect TikTok to have all these weird dancing things. I don't think she's going to dance for us. But in any event, she's accumulated nearly 50,000 followers in 16 weeks. That's astonishing, really. She also hosts the top-rated podcast, Beyond the Diagnosis with Dr. Kylie, and has been featured on 5 international radio shows. On TV, she has been a guest on Good Morning America, Utah, on Fox 26 Houston, and the list goes on within the national on national television. So let me just now introduce our guest, Dr. Kylie Burton. Dr. Kylie, wow, thank you so much for being here with us on Grow Yourself.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
The pleasure is really mine. Now, where are you coming from? You're in Utah, correct?
I'm in Utah. I'm just north of Salt Lake. If you're familiar with Hill Air Force Base.
Yes.
I'm right by Hill Air Force Base. If you're familiar with Antelope Island and the Great Salt Lake, I'm right by there too.
Yes. That's a great place to do some hiking. I've been up to Park City a couple of times and I could just kind of really probably if I were to become homeless, that's where I'd want to be homeless. And
not in the winters.
Yeah.
You don't want to be homeless in the winters.
Okay, got you there. Got you there. Well, listen, you know, thanks again. And so let me just begin by asking you, who is Kylie Burton? You know, where, you know, how were, you know, where were you raised, and how did you end up in now the world that you live?
Yeah, I was born and raised in the exact house my husband and I bought, which was the last thing on this planet I wanted to do.
Wow.
But I grew up playing volleyball. You could always see me on the volleyball court. In fact, I'm, you know, 20, 21, 22, and I don't have a boyfriend. And I always ask, tell people, well, I'm dating a volleyball. He listens to me, does exactly what I say. And so I was always, always, always on the volleyball court. And then I got into nutrition in college. And I liked this idea of, you know, food is medicine. But what I didn't understand was my nutrition degree. I was just about to, I was basically going to throw it all away with what I learned. Because I'm learning, you know, the food pyramid and the food plate, and dairy has lots of calcium and all sorts of things that functional medicine, nutrition, the blood sugar causes issues. Dairy is inflammatory, gluten's inflammatory. Like, I didn't learn any of that. But I got into the chiropractic world, and growing up, I was always in Western medicine. You got sick, you went and got antibiotics. We got our vaccines every year. That was just what we knew. This world of chiropractic, this world of functional medicine, I had no idea it even existed until I applied to be an assistant at a chiropractor's office. And he introduced me to this other world of medicine. And what I discovered was there would be women that would come into the office and they would tell me, you know, all their hormonal problems, their libido struggles, their menstrual cycle struggles, their menopause struggles. And then they would say, you know, but don't tell the doctor. And it was simply because it was female versus male. As a woman, I could understand the menstrual cycle problems, whereas the man in the office couldn't. So I finally was like, okay, that's enough. I'm just going to go get my stupid piece of paper that allows me to do some things. And I'm going to help these women in ways that they need help and they're not receiving it. But I really loved this version of functional medicine, because what it does is it says, okay, you might be showing signs of chronic fatigue, insomnia, and pain that might receive a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. But what causes the chronic fatigue? What's causing the pain? What's causing the insomnia? Let's dig deeper and figure out the cause. And then once we remove the cause, the symptoms go away, so does the diagnosis. But I want to take that one step further, because now that I teach my colleagues, we're messing up the system when we say, what causes this? Because if you were to think about it, Kevin, what causes a migraine? What causes PCOS? What causes heart attacks? I mean, there's not one cause.
I see.
You can't go to Google. Well, you can. You can go to Google and say, what causes a migraine? And you're going to have 5 trillion different answers. So it's about getting, for me, it's about getting the body healthy. And I can share my 5 steps on how to do this. But what I do is I say, okay, wherever you're at, you're in this unhealthy state, a state that you don't want to be in, that you want to improve. How do we go from unhealthy to healthy? And then watch as your symptoms resolve, as you go through that journey. And when your symptoms go away, the diagnoses aren't there either. And ultimately, we stop chasing a diagnosis thinking that that's the answer. You get an answer of, oh, you have fibromyalgia. Okay, here's some Lyrica. Take some, see how you feel. Or you get a diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis and you have joint pain all over. And okay, take Humira, give yourself this injection once a week for the rest of your life to, quote, manage your symptoms. When in reality, is there a better way? Can we figure out what triggered the rheumatoid arthritis? Why did your immune system start attacking your joints? And when we can figure that out, we help your body go from unhealthy to healthy. The joint pain goes away. You don't need Humira. You don't need Lyrica. You know, there's this whole other world that I got introduced to. And I was like, why isn't medicine done this way? And since it's not, and now don't get me wrong, if you break your arm, you better not step foot in my office. If you have a heart attack, you better not step foot in my office.
Right.
Like, you better go to the right places. But for these chronic long-term sufferers, I don't believe medicine is the answer.
So when you say this way, you're talking about functional medicine then?
Functional medicine, holistic medicine, alternative medicine, it's all the same thing. But the reality of it is, no matter what the modalities are, if they're using homeopathics, if they're using supplements, if they're using IV therapy treatments, if they're using muscle testing, whatever it is, it's all about just getting the body healthy. And then when the body goes from unhealthy to healthy, symptoms resolve, whatever they want to call it, whatever colleague of mine is doing, that's just their method of going from unhealthy to healthy. My method is blood work, because numbers never lie. And we all have blood work. You and I were talking about how you just got some of your blood work back. And taking this blood work concept of this normal lab range, it's this huge range. So for example, the normal thyroid marker, the marker that everybody takes is called TSH. Stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. And that TSH on any given lab, depending upon the lab, but it's usually from between 0.5 and 5.5. That's your normal range, 0.5 to 5.5. Now, there are so many women and men, but mostly women, who are like, I have all the thyroid symptoms. My hair is falling out. I can't lose weight. I'm cold. I have difficulty sleeping. The list goes on and on. My hair is thinning. You know, my fingernails are coming brittle. Yet they go to their doctors. Their TSH is 0.08. And it's within the, quote, normal range. So nothing's done about it. Wow. Where I'm going to say, let's take that normal range and let's condense it. Let's make it smaller. So now if you fall outside of this range, you don't feel good. But you don't feel crappy enough to elicit a positive test result. So a diagnosis, for example. So if we take the 0.5 to 5.5 TSH range and we condense it to 1.5 to 3, now if you fall outside of that range, you still have a thyroid struggle. It might not be bad enough to say hypothyroidism, hyperthyroidism, or even Hashimoto's, which most of them are. So it's this idea of let's look at the blood work we already have and let's transform it into real answers, healing, and hope based upon reading it differently. And if you don't mind, I think your listeners would be fascinated if we dove into the lipid panel, the cholesterol.
Please,
panel.
Please. Oh, yeah.
So grab your labs because they're sitting next to you. But the cholesterol, I mean, we always get told that cholesterol is going to clog our arteries and cause heart attacks, and we need to keep it within this range that's less than 200. That's a good thing. I want to reframe that mindset and think, let's look at cholesterol as a good guy, because cholesterol produces all of our hormones.
Oh.
It produces testosterone. It produces progesterone. It produces estrogen. And it, by golly, sure as heck produces cortisol too. And cortisol is our stress hormone.
Yes.
So put this in perspective for your life, Kevin. You had a hell of a 2021. And that stress is going to get produced in our bodies by cortisol. Cholesterol is required to make cortisol. So in your lab, during a stressful event or stressful events and even the repercussions of those stressful events, you can see, quote, bad cholesterol panels, because your body needs more cholesterol to make cortisol, which is our stress hormone.
This is absolutely crazy. I have never heard this.
Let's flip this mindset of cholesterol is this bad guy. No. Cholesterol is a good guy.
Even the difference between him. They say good and bad cholesterol. So you're saying even flip it.
We'll get into HDL and LDL too.
Oh, okay.
It's the same concept that we need cholesterol. So think about if you're a woman listening and you're like, I have low, a woman or male, I have low T. You know, I'm a 25-year-old male who I should have screaming libido, and my testosterone's like at 520 when it should be at 1500 kind of thing. Or the woman is like, she's 45 years old, has absolutely zero libido. Her marriage is really struggling. They go to some hormone therapy clinic. They get the testosterone pellet put in their butt. All of a sudden, her libido is back at such a high level, it's not right. But that's another story. When they can trace back and say, oh, your cholesterol panel is at 152, normal, good range. But I'm thinking, no, her body needs more cholesterol to make the testosterone that it's not producing.
That is bizarre.
Okay, so if we look at this cholesterol idea from a concept of, I want cholesterol. Now, we want cholesterol in the form of good fats, right? Speaking about your wife and her nutrition mindset and guru. We want good fats. I'm not telling you to go out to McDonald's and buy a bunch of burgers and have a bunch of fat. I'm telling you to add in some avocados, add in some coconut oil, get the good stuff. That's what your body can really use to produce all your hormones. So if you're thinking, I have low estrogen, they want to put me on a birth control pill, so give me some estrogen, maybe you should just increase the fat intake in your diet, the healthy fat intake, because that's going to increase your estrogen production. Same thing with a man, like 35 years old, get told they're low testosterone, and they're trying to go to the gym and build muscle, the muscle's not building. Increase your healthy fats. Increase that cholesterol intake. So that's the first mindset switch, is flip it from bad to good. It's a good guy.
Very interesting.
Okay. Now with the cholesterol number inside our lipid panel is what they call it. The normal range is between 150 and 200. I prefer to see it around 200. Even if it's 210, 215, 220, that's a good number to me.
Very 230.
Now I've seen cholesterol panels where the cholesterol number is in the thousands. And we'll get into what happens when that's the occurrence, because I remember sitting the very first time I ever saw a crazy lipid panel, I was actually in school and the cholesterol was in the 2000s. And it was just ugly the entire way down. And I went to, you know, show it to my clinician because I have to go show it to the head doctor. I was still a student at this time. And based on what we were taught and trained about cholesterol, that individual should have been dead with a cholesterol panel like that. If it was in the 2000s, there is no way that blood is getting through those arteries. But yet here she is, not healthy, I will tell you that. But some major gut issues and other things going on. And yet her blood pressure was just fine. Her heart, everything about her heart was just fine, but she had this blaring cholesterol panel. So don't think about cholesterol as a bad guy. Think about it as telling a story. And it's a piece of your health story. What story does it tell you? Well, I would say if your cholesterol is over, let's just say 225, that's a good number. If it's over 225, you want to think about three things. What's leading this cholesterol to be bad? Whether it's over 225 at 250 or it's 2500. Three things. Thyroid concerns. Did you know that your thyroid problems with your thyroid directly impacts your cholesterol panel?
Never heard this before. And you know, and not like I'm a physician or into the healthcare arena, but you know, I'm kind of read enough and listen to things, and I've never heard this. Is so interesting that you are making these connections.
Yeah. Now, so if you have your TSH at 0.8 and you have a really bad cholesterol panel, your doctor is like, you need to have a statin. Otherwise we're going to have to do something. Like, you got some major problems going on. There's other ways to do it than just jump on statins. There's a way to, again, heal that cholesterol panel by healing your body. So we have the thyroid as the one big correlation. The other correlation is blood sugar. If your blood sugar is imbalanced, it's going to skew your cholesterol panel. And then the third one is inflammation. No, I kind of hate that term. I kind of hate inflammation personally because it's a cop-out for so many things. Well, I'm just inflamed, you know?
Okay.
Think about how many itis terms we have.
Yeah.
Tendonitis, bronchitis. Like, it's all, those itises just mean inflammation. But really, what's the source of inflammation? So when you think about the lipid panel and your doctor's pressuring you to get on a statin, or you are like, I've been trained to think that cholesterol is going to harden my arteries and clog them up, And now I have this complete different spin on cholesterol. Pay attention to the numbers. You want it to float around 200.
Very interesting.
If it's outside of that 200 range, think the three things. How's my thyroid doing?
Mm-hmm.
Is my blood sugar stabilized? And do I need to go after a source of inflammation?
Very interesting. Now, so let me ask you this. And so I have my lipid panel here in front of me. Can I read them to you and tell me what? Okay. Now, if you fall out of your chair or something like this, then I'm going to probably just edit this piece out.
I guarantee you know. I've seen worse. So.
Okay. So here's what it says. And I just got this yesterday. I just had this blood work, I think, done on Friday. So, okay. So let's see. So cholesterol, it says 191.
Beautiful.
Say again.
Beautiful.
Okay. HDL is 49.
Okay.
LDL is 141.
Okay.
Then the cholesterol HDL ratio is 3.9.
Triglycerides.
There
are triglycerides on there. What are the triglycerides? What are the triglycerides?
81. And then the VLDL is 16. So what do you glean from that?
Okay. So we have cholesterol at 191, which is sweet, right there in the sweet spot.
Good.
We have HDL as 46.
49, yes.
49. Mm-hmm. HDL, we consider, quote, the good guys. It's the good cholesterol, right? There's really no bad cholesterol. It's just how our body's processing it, really. But HDL, I like to see that floating around like 80 to 100. So the upper range, again. Mm-hmm. So the range is going to be between 50 and 100 on any given lab range. But it's all back to that your body needs HDL, cholesterol, to make all of our hormones.
Interesting.
And it does more than that, but let's just focus on the hormones, because so many people are like, well, I have a hormone problem and I have low estrogen, so I'm going to go get, you know, the things that we've been talking about. So if I were you, I would actually increase your healthy fat intake a little bit more, get that HDL up. The LDL is what, 140 something?
The LDL is 141.
141. So when I see a number outside of the range, I think it's like less than 129, depending upon the lab range. When I see a number outside of the range like that, I'm going to think those three things. How's my thyroid doing? Is my blood sugar stabilized? And do I need to tackle some sources of inflammation? Now, be careful about how I say that.
Okay.
Tackle some sources of inflammation. Not just taking turmeric and curcumin and all the anti-inflammatories forever just to say tackling my inflammation, but going after what's causing the source of inflammation. So when it comes to your cholesterol panel, that's a pretty dang good panel.
Oh.
Now we can flip it. So let's say you have one of these panels that you went and got a cholesterol panel in the moment of your really stressful events in 2021. And you came back and your cholesterol is at 529. Your HDL is at 100, your triglycerides are at 72, but that glaring cholesterol number would again go thyroid, inflammation, blood sugar. But pay attention, because I said it, you took the lab test when you were doing that stressful event. So that's going to skew your not your.
That's labs. Fascinating. Yeah.
Now, in the case of this patient I saw as a student, she was, I would say, late 30s, maybe 40 years old.
Hmm.
All the gut symptoms, Crohn's, IBS, IBD, whatever the heck they wanted to name it at that time. Her cholesterol was above 2,000. Her cholesterol is above 2,000. Then next one is her triglycerides. And I don't remember the numbers after that, but I remember thinking there has to be a reason why we've been trained that anything above this, I mean, if we've been told is real, what we've been told about cholesterol is real, why is she alive? So then I think there's this common occurrence with a lipid panel that's so skewed, and it could be in a 19-year-old. I've seen several in young adults. It could be in a 35-year-old. It could be in a 95-year-old. But when the immune system is in an autoimmune state, meaning our immune system is attacking some tissue that's healthy.
Hmm.
So it sounds like Hashimoto's, it sounds like Crohn's, sounds like ulcerative colitis, rheumatoid arthritis, anything that we think about our autoimmune diseases, it can really skew our cholesterol panel as well. And to heal our cholesterol panel and to make it look good for our doctor and for ourselves, give ourselves that peace of mind, we actually need to go in and we need to calm down the immune system. So there's so much to this lipid panel that we can learn hordes of information about how our body is that goes way deeper than arteries. And it's this concept of, why are my labs normal yet I feel like crap?
Yeah.
And that's what my book is all about.
Yeah. This is really just fascinating. And so the next question that I think of, and I'm kind of jumping ahead here because I have other things I want to ask, but so you can answer it now or later. But, you know, the question is that it sounds like, well, let me just say it this way. I don't think your average doctor is going to tell you this, what you're telling me right now. And so what is the average person to do outside of, and I will be passing out your information at the end of this this interview, but what is the average person to do about this?
Well, I'm on two missions right now. My first mission is to teach everybody how to read their own blood work.
Oh, hello.
So you go get my book, Are My Labs Normal?
Okay.
And I will literally teach you in the most simple ways that even the person with the biggest brain fog or has zero medical background, it doesn't matter, you can learn how to read your blood work.
Man, I love that.
Which means you can bypass Google Doctor and you can actually look at the blood work in this way, where it goes from normal range to condensed range or the functional range, and then walks you through, okay, the CBC, this white blood cell count that we see at the top of this marker, it's normal. Thank heavens it's normal, because if it's, you know, outside, if it's alarming to the doctor, there's a big problem. But if you're constantly tired and you know something is wrong with you, yet you keep getting told your blood work is normal, you're fine, maybe you should just take an antidepressant, or, hey, I'll see you again in a year, good luck. And you're left to figure out your health on your own because no one's listening. The book will explain this white blood cell marker is actually a marker for low-grade infection. That low-grade infection is the most common cause of chronic fatigue. It is the most common cause of autoimmune disease. It is the source of inflammation, tying it back to what we already talked about. So there is so much that you can learn no matter what your health background is, whether you have a ton of it or you don't. And I even have MDs and nurse practitioners reading this book to see how they can view labs in a different way. Because we all get in the field for the same reason. We all want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of what tools were we given to help people. My tools are very different than the tools that an MD was trained on. And so they too are looking for other tools to put in their toolbox. So go grab the book. It will literally walk you through in the most simplest ways how to read your own blood work. And now the power is in your hands.
That's fantastic. And for everybody, you know, I will have the link in the show notes here so that you can go get it. I typically try to read up on a book if I have a guest. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't. But when I finish here, I'm heading out to get it.
You can compare your own blood work that you got yesterday.
I can't wait. It's really interesting. So let me just think about a couple of other things. I kind of might jump all over the place here, but let me ask you this question that might be slightly off the beaten path here of what we're talking about relative to what you do, though. And this may be politically incorrect in some ways, I'll be honest with you, but I think in somewhere I read, you said that you will talk about the dirty issues. So this is a dirty issue.
Let's do it.
Obesity. And I'm talking specifically to the United States of America. I've traveled all around the world. I've lived in different countries. I still travel quite a bit. And I don't see in other countries that I'm going to what I'm seeing here in the United States, where there is so much obesity. But here's the other piece to that. I can walk, and I won't mention any particular stores, but I can walk into a large supermarket store somewhere. And Dr. Kylie, I just see people who just don't look well. Their faces look like they're sagging and their eyes are like this and their skin doesn't look right. And I see a lot of it, you know. I don't need to say, I hope, at least for the people, well, those who don't know me, I love everybody. I love you, whoever you are. So I'm not here taking pot shots at people. I've got my own issues. I mean, I, you know, I'm slightly overweight, but it's not easy as well. So, I mean, I respect that, that there's some problems. I'm trying to understand, one, why, well, you probably can't answer this question, maybe, why are, you know, leaders somewhere are not bringing this forward more? There's something really wrong. So I'll just throw that out there, but really ask you, what do you think is wrong here? What's going on with all of this?
Well, look, again, there's no simple answer with obesity, but we could go into the nutrition and the food world, and we could go into the toxins and the toxic world. I come at obesity from a different spin. And it was after I read a book called The Gabriel Method.
The Gabriel Method?
Yeah, it was about a man, Gabe, I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Gabriel. He was over 400 pounds, and he did every diet under the sun. And yes, there are people who are obese out there who are not healthy. And there are people who are obese who are eating the cleanest they could ever eat. And you have people who are skinny, who are not healthy, but they can fit into the size zero and the size one, and they look like Barbie dolls. But on the inside, they are not healthy.
Okay.
So you get it from both spectrums. How come someone who can look like Barbie doll, like I have a friend who I know, she looks like a Barbie doll, and yet she's in the ER all the freaking time.
Oh, interesting.
Her gut is a mess.
I see.
And she's had her gallbladder removed, and she just has all these health issues. So it's from both perspectives. We got the ones who look the part that should be healthy but are not. And we have the ones who should not be healthy but really are. So look at this from a way of our bodies are using it as a protection. Now, you're in the mindset and they're upgrading your personal, like who you are and becoming a better person space. What if someone was in a toxic relationship and they're trying to lose weight? Their body is using their weight as a physical protection.
Interesting.
And I've had so many people say to me, well, I want to lose this weight. And I'll start talking to them about the relationships that they're in, whether it be at home, whether it be in the school, or whether it be in the work environment. I mean, think about the kids nowadays.
Yes.
The kids, the obesity rates are rampant. Type 1 diabetes is rampant. Are their home environments safe? Or is their body literally using fat and bloating and inflammation as a way to protect themselves? It's a physical protection. So there's this lady here. I'll use her as an example. She's my neighbor, and I ran into her a couple days ago, actually, and I haven't seen her for a while. I looked at her and I said, holy smokes, you have lost a ton of weight. She's lost over 80 pounds in like the last 6 months. And I said, just me, what have you been doing? And she said, well, I've been vegan for 5 years now. And just recently, the weight started to come off. I didn't change anything in the last five years from a nutrition standpoint. Okay, well, what happened to you 6 months ago? I quit my job. It was a toxic environment and I just couldn't do it anymore.
Well then.
Bam, weight's off. So think about it from, yes, nutrition's important. Yes, detoxing is important. Yes, that's all important stuff. We got to do that. We got to do our part if it's going to come off. But I've had so many people say to me, so you're telling me I'm not going to lose weight until my husband dies?
Oh, good.
You're telling me I'm not going to lose weight until this? Like, as soon as you think about it, they immediately pinpoint that protection mechanism and who their body's protecting it from.
Wow.
Now, in this book that brought me this whole idea of it, he was in a very toxic work environment. Until he left his work environment, his all the diets in the world. Didn't change a thing for him.
But why?
So we have terrible nutrition.
Okay.
But we also have the people who are eating pristinely clean and couldn't be eating any better, but they still look like they live on their couch. What's the gap there? It's more than just nutrition. It's more than detoxing. It's more than what we put in our mouth and what we're and how much we're exercising. It goes far deeper beyond that.
Yeah.
Is our blood sugar stabilized? I mean, how many women have had 2 pregnancies or labor and they can't get pregnant. They're told they have PCOS. And no matter what diet they go on, they can't lose a freaking pound. They have thyroid issues. They can't lose a single pound. They're struggling. They would love to look the way that they're eating and the way that they're exercising, but it's not appearing physically. So that we have all of these underlying health problems preventing our weight loss. And then we have all of these underlying toxic environments, not just from a chemical perspective, but a relationship perspective.
Yeah.
So it has to be multifaceted. I'm a big fan of what I would call wellness to weight loss, because we're getting you healthy. And as you get healthy from an internal standpoint, plus healthy surroundings, whether that be mold or toxic in your environment, toxins in your environment, or you're in this narcissistic relationship that you just need someone to give you permission to get out of. We got to take all that into consideration if we're going to become healthy as a nation.
It seems like, you know, a massive hill to climb up.
Yeah. And I'm like you, I've been in subways in Japan. I've been to Africa and
or even Europe.
You cannot live in Japan and be obese.
Yeah.
You won't.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You will stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
If you are.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how sumo wrestlers do it when they're in that culture, but it's a culture thing too.
Yeah.
It was a shock to me. And I mean, Japan has the best pastries. I haven't been to France yet. I'll get there. European pastries. But I swear, when I was there, it was a rule that we always had to go. I was with a study abroad group in college, and we took every single stair we could. There was no taking escalators. There was no taking it in. Oh my gosh, the
elevators.
Elevators. There we go. Yeah. The elevators, because we were always eating these delicious pastries.
Yeah.
We just made a rule to take the stairs. But people there, they buy their food for dinner every day. They don't have these processed foods. It's not an option. Like, I go to the grocery store one time every 2 weeks. They go to the grocery store every other day.
Every other day, yeah. Same right? In Europe, in a lot of places. That's very interesting. I want to kind of backtrack a little bit here. You've already kind of talked about it, but I maybe want to settle this into my own mind and maybe of the viewers, that you mentioned that, you know, that we recognize that Western medicine is a broken industry. And so if I were to ask the question again, I know you've just spoken about this, but, you know, how in a nutshell would you say it's broken?
It's the tools that the doctors are giving inside their toolkits.
I see.
It's the way that we only have 5 minutes for an appointment. It's the way that insurance deems what gets paid for, so therefore what treatment is. The most common question I get asked is, do you take insurance?
Yes.
Insurance doesn't take me because I get you out of the system. Now, if you want to truly get healthy and get well, you can't allow insurance to dictate your health care. Otherwise, you're going to stay in the system. So a couple things have to happen. One, we need better training, not better, more varieties of training. And I will tell you, especially since COVID, there are so many doctors leaving Western medicine. I can name 5 OBGYNs right now who have left their practice and gone for the functional medicine world because they healed themselves using it. And 2, it's just a whole different paradigm of, rather than giving birth control and doing hysterectomies, it's let's figure out why your hormones are so off and then balance them out. So it's one, getting better toolkits, tools inside our toolkit. Two, it's busting free of the insurance modalities paradigm. And three, it's using Western medicine for what they're really good at. They're really good at acute scenarios. They're really good at surgeries. They're really good at those areas in our healthcare, but they're not trained to handle the chronic illness.
I see. Boy, that's a really good explanation. So would chiropractic, is that considered functional medicine then?
Chiropractic is, a lot of chiropractors will say that they're functional medicine doctors. Chiropractic in and of itself, we are taught how to adjust. And we are taught, like I went to a school in Oregon, where chiropractors in Oregon, they can perform minor surgeries. They can perform labor and delivery. Do all of these. They can do incisions in Oregon. So, I mean, we had to learn it all. I performed a gynecology exam. I performed a urology and I can't even remember the term of it, but it was on a male. And we did like the entire physical. We did it all.
Interesting.
Not something I knew I was walking into when I started school.
Right.
But because we do it all, and then we're trained from a more of a nutrition standpoint. So I had more nutrition classes than I did pharmaceutical classes.
Very, very
interesting. Whereas another college in Georgia, they're all about philosophy, and they're all about allowing our innate bodies to heal and to prime that healing modalities, where I came from a scientific standpoint.
I see.
Now there's a whole variety of what chiropractic is, and then functional medicine in and of itself is this idea of, let's actually figure out what's causing your symptoms and heal your body so you no longer have the symptoms. And for me, I don't care about a diagnosis, because again, it's just your body is producing symptoms.
Well, that's fascinating what you're saying now. And the reason why I ask, and you kind of answered it a little bit, is that one of my daughters happens to work at a chiropractic office. And so she, you know, just educates me a little bit about what she's learning. But, and actually my sister did too for many, many years. And I guess part of this chiropractic therapy or work has to do with allowing, you know, doing things to your spine, if you will, that allow your body to heal itself better. Is that correct? By allowing, you know, by freeing up nerves and allowing the fluids.
It's all about the nervous system controls our body.
Right. That's
it. Is the mass? People will say it's the thyroid is the master gland. The nervous system is the master controller.
Very interesting.
Because it sends the signals out to all of us. Now, there's a lot of philosophies about the adjustment. And what's actually, like, can you actually physically move bones? If you think about that, are we designed to actually move a bone? When in reality, most of it is like, if we go to an adjustment, we receive an adjustment and we have popping.
Yeah.
There's like an air bubble in the fluid space between inside the joint.
I see.
So people are like, oh, well, my back's out. Is it really out? Or is there like muscle tension? Is there too many bubbles inside the fluid within the joint? Like there's a whole lot more going on. Our bodies, in my personal opinion, aren't designed to just fall out of socket and not have those joints protected like they are. But it is clearing out all of the bubbles per se in our joint spaces along our spine and making sure that those nerves have clear pathway to communicate what they need to communicate.
Wait, and that's fascinating. I just love the way you explain things. I mean, you just lay it in my brain, you know, so nicely that I go, wow, I get
it. I try.
I've
worked
good.
So hard on removing the doctor talk and talking like.
And you're doing just a terrific job at it. Because I was, you know, just a little anecdote here that when I was in the Air Force and trying to work on my degree, I remember I had to do a science. So I did a night school with doing physics, you know, And because I'm just fascinated by physics, you know, and I think this was maybe even an intro to physics or something like this. And so I go to the first class. I'm sitting in the back. I have my book. The professor starts to explain what we're going to learn. And within about 10 minutes, I just kind of quietly close up my book, ducked my head down, snuck out the back door and said, oh, if the summary is this complicated, I ain't going to make it through this class. So
the summary is this complicated.
So when I hear somebody explain things that lays into my brain, man, I just think you're doing a great service for a lot of people.
That's why I say go grab the book, because it doesn't matter your background. Like, you can understand this.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how much brain fog you have. You can understand this.
Yes.
Especially if you have your blood work sitting right there next to you.
Right. That sounds like a very directed message.
Yes.
Okay. So may I ask, I have really kind of one more question. Let's say three more questions. One, the first question will be, is there something that you would like to talk about to our audience that you think is important that I haven't asked about or that we haven't covered already? That's number one. Two, I want to ask you about this. And again, you've kind of said it, but I'm maybe asking for something else to ask. You know, how do people take charge of their health? And I think I've already heard you say some things, but maybe want to nutshell that. And then my last question is really taking sort of this quick fire through some of the things that I know that you speak about and maybe just throwing them out to you. And you know, I know, you know, sort of these rapid fires or whatever you want to call it, they don't, you know, really educate people that well. But I think what I do like about it and what I'm going to ask of you is, like, for instance, you say that it's not because of your mom, hidden causes of chronic fatigue. So to just ask you to give an important point about that concept that maybe our viewers can go think more about or do something about it or something. So question number one, is there something that you would like to talk about or mention that you haven't already specifically?
I think just changing, we can sit and talk about nutrition. We can sit and talk about health, and we can sit and talk about labs for hours. But if we don't change our mindset, we don't change our belief system, meaning I have this diagnosis of fibromyalgia, I'm going to have it for the rest of my life. I just have to deal with it. I have this diagnosis of MS. If we get past the searching for diagnoses and we start realizing, I don't care what my body is physically in this moment, I'm going to start changing my story now. And I'm going to allow my body to heal. And I'm going to give my body the tools it needs to heal. I don't care what your diagnosis is.
Wow.
I don't care if you don't even have a diagnosis. Like, I want you to switch that mindset up and to upgrade it and say, here's what I'm feeling today, but tomorrow's going to be different. In 6 months, my life is going to look like this. And I want you to just start thinking big. Like, if you are struggling right now to remember to get your kids from school, or you would give anything to go on that vacation, but you have to be near a bathroom. What would life look like for you in 12 years or 12 months? Take that family vacation. Go anywhere you want in the world. Road trip it all across the country. And what would it look like for you if you didn't have to know where the bathroom? This is all possible. We're just trained to think that we have to manage all of this stuff for the rest of our life. It's going to be like this.
That is absolutely crazy, because I've heard people say that before, particularly older people, to say, you know, when they talk about, I wished I could go there, but now I can't because the flight's too long and all these other sorts of things. That's fascinating. And I think you and I had spoke earlier that, you know, I do some work in the mindset a little bit, really more from a sort of a very practical standpoint, I guess you could say. But one of the things that I'm hearing you say, or that came to mind when you suggested that I have this diagnosis and I'm just going to have to live with it the rest of my life, I challenge people, and I want to hear really what you have to say about this, to really ask the question, is that really true? Or, to your point, you just lay there with this idea. And now you're just trying to figure out how to live life without that ability or with that diagnosis, rather than starting with, well, first of all, is that really true?
You said it best. Like, that's a great question to ask. You get a diagnosis of Hashimoto's and you have to live with this the rest of your life. Is this really true? Let me really think upon this for a minute. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to unwind that lie I was just told. And once I've unwound it in my head, my body can accept the healing I'm about to give it. The treatments, the tools, the nutrition, the detoxing, everything that's involved in getting us healthy. But unless we unlock the mindset, you can do the best physical treatments in the world and it will only get you so far.
That's fascinating. So question number two, you know, how do, and again, I know you've already discussed this a little bit, but how do people practically take charge of their health? Give me that in a little bit more of a nutshell that somebody would walk away and say, okay, here's where, maybe it's better to ask, where do they start? Besides getting your book is what I would recommend, you know, from what I'm hearing.
I was just going to say, get my book, because when you take charge of your health, we can talk, you can hear about nutrition all the freaking day. You can get on 9 trillion podcasts and listen nutrition. You can hear about detoxing. You can hear about all of the things, but you don't ever get taught, what do my labs say? That is left to the person who interpreted your labs, who ordered your labs. When you have that power where now you can go to your doctor and you can ask him for exact labs that you should be getting, which might require you step out of the insurance world and actually pay for the labs, because the insurance is going to dictate what labs are ran based upon your health story. Again, your labs are pieces of your health story, crucial pieces. The more labs you have, the more blood markers you have, the more puzzle pieces you have to your puzzle. So get all of the blood work, and it's all found inside my book. I teach you how to read the CBC, the metabolic panel, the lipid panel. We don't go into the thyroid panel because it's a little complicated, but blood sugar, inflammation, vitamin D, autoimmune diseases, we go into all of that. And when you're going to take charge of your health, taking charge and learning how to read your own dang bloods, the labs you're already getting.
Yeah.
I swear, that's priceless.
If I would have asked 10 healthcare professionals that question, I'm pretty darn sure not one of them would have said, learn how to read your labs. And frankly, it's what attracted me to asking you to come on to do this show, because I was scrolling across different guests and I was like, how to read your labs? Like, what the heck? Let's do that, man. I mean, it's fascinating.
How dare I teach the general public how to read their labs?
Correct. Yes. Okay. So Kylie, we're going to do this quick fire, if you don't mind. And again, you can just go in whatever direction, and including it's too complicated, Kevin, let's move on. Okay. So again, I picked these up from some of what your profile suggested in the podcast guest. And it says, it's not because you're a mom, hidden causes of chronic fatigue your doctor doesn't know. Tell me something about that.
So many times women get told it's because you're a mom, you just need to sleep more. Your chronic fatigue is a lot, like it's just hidden. You have anxiety, depression, you know, whatever it is. Go grab your blood work. Look for the marker WBC, white blood cell count. If that marker is less than 5 or greater than 8, your chronic fatigue is being caused by an infection. Low grade, but it's there. And when your body is fighting this underlying low grade infection, it doesn't have energy for anything else. So you're not crazy. Not because you're a mom. It's not because you need anxiety or depression, antidepressants. It's because your body is dealing with something and it's too busy dealing with that, not giving you energy for other things.
Wow. My wife would probably say, no, it's not because you're a mom. It's because your husband is where the chronic fatigue is coming from. I'm pretty sure my wife would say that. So, okay. That's so funny. I'm skipping over one and going to another one that says the depression and infection connection, plus my vitamin D protocol to curb anxiety and depression. That's fascinating because we all know there's, I guess you could call it epidemic, right? Of seems like depression and anxiety taking place, certainly in the US, perhaps around the world. I don't know. What would you say about that?
Yeah. I'm going to give you my vitamin D protocol right now.
Oh, no.
And it's going to shock every listener because they're going to be, oh my gosh, she's going to make me toxic at this level. I can't take it at that level. But go in, again, I'm a big fan of numbers. Go grab the vitamin D from your lab. The lab range for vitamin D is 32 to 100. That's a big range.
It does sound like a big range.
If you are in the 30s or in the 40s or in the 50s, your body does not have enough vitamin D to do its jobs. Vitamin D is required from every single cell. You need a lot of it. So I want people to have a vitamin D around 80. If it's above 100, all the more power to you. I don't get scared by numbers over 100. I've had numbers like 196, 122. Mm. I don't get nervous about it. And especially if you're fighting autoimmune disease, the easiest thing you can do to start your body from healing is giving it loads of vitamin D. So here you go. Listen to this. Month number one in the 3-month protocol. Month number one, you're going to take 25,000 IUs of vitamin D per day.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, I say, wow, like I know what that is, but it sounds like a lot.
The prescription dosage, if you are less than 32, your doctor might give you a prescription of vitamin D. They might give you that. You are very depleted if you're outside of that normal range in a bad way.
Mm.
The prescription dosage is 50,000 IUs of vitamin D one time per week.
Oh.
It's not going to change your labs very much. It's not going to change how you feel very much. I guarantee you, if you do this 3-month protocol, you will be emailing me. You will be messaging me like, thank you so much. I finally feel like myself again, just off of this vitamin D. That's it. But you have to take enough of it and you have to get it from the right source. Going to Walmart and buying vitamin D from Nature's Bounty is not going to cut it. Okay. You need the high quality source. So if you're thinking, I will need a vitamin D, high quality, what do you recommend? I recommend it's called DV3 from Systemic Formulas. You can buy that on my website at drkylieburton.com/supplements. That's where I would recommend the source of vitamin D. They also have a liquid version. So if you're like, I want my kids on this, or I don't want to swallow pills, liquid version tastes like orange soda.
Oh,
kids love it. My kiddos love it. Mm-hmm. So month number one, 25,000 IUs of vitamin D per day. Month number two.
Will you feel an effect of this?
Amazingly. The side effects are going to, you're going to feel amazing.
Oh, wow.
Very rarely. And people will say, well, it's causing kidney stones. Is it the vitamin D that's causing the kidney stones, or is it the 9 million other junk supplements that they're taking?
Interesting, yeah.
The kidneys have to process all of that too.
Okay.
So make sure you're taking high quality stuff because your kidneys have to process it all.
Mm.
Number two, the month number two is 20,000 IUs of vitamin D per day.
Mm.
So 25, 20. Month three is 15,000. And then you're going to maintain at 10,000, not 2,000 per day, not 5,000 per day, which is your standard dosage. Now, Kevin, you're in the South.
Wow.
So you're probably like right below the 35th parallel. If you were to get out the world map and you follow the 35th parallel through the United States, the northern half of California is above it. So if you were to think about that line going horizontal across the US, you probably might be right below it. But from October to March, every single year, 3/4 of the U.S. does not make vitamin D from the sun.
I've heard this before. Yeah.
So we're really depleted by the time February and March comes around. Winter is the most popular months for anxiety and depression.
Winter. That's crazy, man. That is really crazy. Yeah, I've heard that before, you know, that... Because there's, you know, not that much sun and so forth. Yeah.
There's not, the sun's not coming through. But then I've also seen I've seen thousands of labs from people all over the US, all over the world. I've seen hundreds of labs from Texas and Florida and the Caribbean and Georgia and California, like places that we think, oh, it's sunshine all year round. How on earth, if they're spending a lot of time outside, are they still depleted in vitamin D? I have two thoughts on this. One, our body can't take the sun and use it efficiently anymore. And two, our genes have changed. So that production of vitamin D is not being utilized as it once was. So 25,000, 20,000, 15,000, maintain at 10,000. Tell me how you feel, because you're going to feel like a million.
I'm going to do it and report back to you on that.
Okay.
Okay, so two more real quick then. Maybe, I don't know if there'll be two. So one is, it says a deep dive into the thyroid and why your thyroid labs are normal. Yet, well, you actually kind of talked about that.
Yeah, so we talked about TSH some.
So let me then move to the next one, which again, you sort of hit on, about gut health in general. You talked a little bit more about chronic diarrhea, but if I may, I would like to just ask more about gut health, partially because I've heard so many talking about the importance of your gut and it being your second brain and these sorts of things. I'm personally paying attention to these ideas.
Yeah. The gut is a hot topic and you could take it in so many ways.
Okay.
I want to break it down into my 3-step rehab your gut method. Okay. Now, just because you're told that you need probiotics, that's a fat lie.
No kidding. Stop it.
Probiotics are great for the right person. They're great. So if you have chronic diarrhea or chronic constipation, or you've been diagnosed with IBS or IBD or Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, any of these, what we consider gut issues, probiotics are probably not going to be your friends.
Hmm.
And we can get into that. But the 3-step rehab your gut method is, number one, gut destruction. Now, I say that for a reason, because it's harsh. It can be pretty harsh, this type of treatment. We're talking about getting rid of infections lying in your gut. These infections can be bacterial, fungal, viral, parasitic, and oftentimes combinations of these types of infections. We have to get rid of the bad guys first. That's basically what they are, bad guys.
Wow.
Those bad guys are what creates IBS, IBD, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis.
Stop it.
And so many other autoimmune diseases.
Is this stuff in your book? I'm curious.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
I get into the
infection part. The infection part is actually inside your CBC. So get inside that chapter and you can actually find what infections you are fighting with the blood work your doctor took.
Mm.
So you'll know exactly what gut destruction pieces you need to do. Step number two is we have to heal what we call leaky gut.
Mm.
Now, leaky gut is where your small intestines your cells should be tight, bound together next to each other tightly so nothing can get through. But because we live in the environment and the world we live in, we have gaps in these cells. Hence the term leaky gut. So we need to heal that. Step number three is what I call gut replenish. So now that we've gotten all the bad guys out, gut destruction, we've healed the gut lining. Now we can go in and get all the good stuff back in. The enzymes, the hydrochloric acid, the probiotics, if they're okay for your body, the prebiotics, all of the good stuff that our gut needs in those three simple steps. Now, depending on what you do at each step is dependent upon what your labs say. So you got to go get the book so you know what to do at each one of your steps. Make it personalized. Especially with the gut, it has to be personalized to do it right.
This is just mind-blowing information. I did not expect to hear all of this, honestly. And again, such a straightforward way. You probably get this a lot. Does your book share what kind of blood work to ask for or to go out and get? Good, because I think that's also very important. Well, listen.
Yeah, I have a TikTok video. If you go to my page on TikTok too, at Dr. Kylie Burton.
Are you dancing while you
No, I'm not.
Say that? Okay.
I actually teach you how to read blood work with my TikTok videos, which is why it's gone viral so many times. In my profile, there is a video pinned at the top that tells you what exact lab test to ask.
Okay. That's great information. So before we wrap it up here, you know, please, would you just share with, you know, and, you know, sounds like the first place to go is the book, you know, but share where people can find you. It'll all be in the show notes, but, you know, how they can reach out to you, maybe even more particular if they want your services, including physicians. I know there's a physician or two that watches this that I personally know, but.
Well, the first thing to do was go grab the book.
Okay.
The second thing to do was go follow my podcast.
Okay.
Podcast. It's called Beyond the Diagnosis with Dr. Kylie.
Okay.
There's an episode coming out every Tuesday. Where we talk a lot about labs, where I bring in health experts. And then there's an episode every Thursday for practitioners and what's helping you upgrade your mindset, give you some business tips and tricks and all the things that we don't get as practitioners. I bring it in my podcast. So whoever you are, grab the book, Why Are My Labs Normal? You can find it on Amazon and then go follow the podcast Beyond the Diagnosis with Dr. Kylie.
Okay.
And you're set.
No, that's fantastic. And again, you know, on YouTube, it will all be down there with the links that people can find you and so forth. So, I mean, all I can say is, wow, man. I mean,
go back, really. Go grab your labs, Kevin. You got lots to learn.
No, I'm on a mission here. In fact, I almost am ready to shut this down because I hear my wife just pulled up so that I can come go share some of this information with her. And certainly, just some of the great things that I've learned here. You've also been very, very gracious with the information that you've provided. I mean, you know, you're telling us a lot of things that people probably could go find in your book, but you're just very, very forthcoming and very gracious with it. And I do highly recommend, as I promise, I'm going to do as soon as we shut down here, go get your book and start working on some of these things because you're just giving sort of the behind the curtains scene here. Look, you know, things that I've never heard before. And again, I'm not a physician. I don't hang out in the healthcare world, but I do a lot of reading and I'm, I would have thought that some of the things that you have told me, I would have already heard before, but I can speculate about why I haven't heard it. And I'm sure you'd probably agree with it. But and you are a supporter of physicians in the Western medicine and all those sorts of things. So the things that you're saying, even when you're talking about the Western system's broken, you're not talking about providers or doctors necessarily. You said that, you know, there are things that we do very
well. Toolkit.
Yes, it's all about the toolkit.
They're limiting.
Yes, that's very, very well said. So listen, thank you again so much, Dr. Kylie. I appreciate your time. I really enjoyed meeting you and hearing from you. And I'm hoping you will do another podcast with me down the road and talk a little bit more about mindset and some of these other things. So, okay. Well, listen, thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay.